Poaching game from Sherwood Forest, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that fights against one world government. He wonders how the freight train engineer tells all the other locomotives what to do. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is another episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man. As you heard, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert. Thank you very much, Drew McMillan. Drew McMillan is our Canadian announcer, my nephew, and the host of the soon-to-be wildly popular Powerboat TV. And you can watch episodes of Powerboat TV on powerboattv.com. I guess they're streaming their episodes on that website. In the meantime, I'm looking at my friend Randy Carson here, podcast engineer, knob twiddler and dial slider, or is it dial twiddler and knob slider? But I always forget to ask Randy. There's a photograph or maybe a portrait of a dog with a neckerchief on the cabinet across the room behind him. And I'm wondering what I'm looking at here. He has to crank around to see what I'm talking about. He forgot it was there. Randy, what the heck is that?
That's exactly what you thought it was. It's a black lab with a neckerchief on. I have no idea why it's there.
I've never seen a dog that large in your house before. And so I just assumed it wasn't yours.
Well, not since we've known each other. But back in the day, I used to have some serious doghood when I was on the ranch. So I'm used to having big dogs, and I didn't get into the little dog arena until Margaret and I got married, and she has allergic to just about everything with four paws except for me. Well, I think she's allergic to me at times too, but she gets by with the poodles okay.
Well, good. Glad to hear it. Seems like a happy household, but it's just numerous. It's a lot busier at your house than it is at mine, with zero pets and one spousal unit who is barely happy to be there. And, I'm striving constantly to do tricks to get a treat occasionally. And so last episode, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can... You know, that I have this picture rolling across my mind now of you balancing a dog biscuit on your nose and then seeing how long you can balance it.
Well, sometimes I get up on the ledge and I honk the horns, and it's like the presidential seal. You know, it's that's one of my better tricks.
All right, good. We're going to have to see if we can get that on film.
Oh, that's going to be great. Yeah, people are really going to want to see that. Here's the deal. Last episode, we took a serious dive into some of the training and advice that people give to sales agents, especially sales agents who concentrate in the Medicare arena. Some people might say the Medicare space, but I'm never going to be that hip. So the Medicare area of activity. And I gave Randy three choices, actually four choices. And I read the headlines from three articles. And then I said, or you can dump all of those and we can just go right to the mailbag. So now we're down to two articles. And these are two that Randy rejected last time. Let's see if he likes them any better this time. And of course, the fallback position is always going to be the MLM mailbag. So choice number one. More people working past age 65. What does that mean for agents selling Medicare plans? And article number two, four tips for making a better insurance sales pitch. Or choice number three is the Medicare mailbag, the MLM mailbag. What's your choice, Randy? Tick tock, tick tock.
I want to go. Now, that's a tough choice, Doug. Let me think. I want to go with choice B, like Bob.
Alrighty, that is your choice, and that's what you shall have. So, four tips for making a better insurance sales pitch. Now, this is like inside baseball, where we expose the nasty underworld of how we motivate people to open up their wallets and how we reach into their wallets and take money out so that you can have insurance and we can have income. So here's the deal. It's got a series of little headlines followed by some explanations. So it starts out with, hey, bravo, encore. Sadly, you probably never heard a prospect say those words. Insurance just isn't that inspiring to most. I think we've lived that life long enough. You can avoid the glassy-eyed glare and other sales presentation pitfalls, though. If you're looking for insurance sales, how to get started in life insurance or how to get started in insurance sales. Okay, they're pitching some kind of book here that I'm not going to buy. So we've got tips for you. Steal the show by following our advice. Alrighty. Now, focus on educating, not selling. That's tip number one. Nobody likes to feel like they're being sold to, especially when the product is something they aren't sure they really need. People research and buy products that they feel they need or will benefit from. Insurance products aren't any different. The thing is, gathering information on insurance can be challenging for the average consumer. Many people don't understand insurance, including what their options are and how coverage works. In 2017, United Healthcare found that just 9% of Americans know all four of the following terms. Now, here are the terms that only 9% of Americans knew. Health plan premium, health plan deductible, out-of-pocket maximum, and coinsurance. Apparently, in 2017, people were a lot dumber than our audience is right now.
Have they been living under a rock?
I'm thinking that somebody flipped that rock over and they all scattered, except they measured the ones that couldn't run fast enough. So basically, those four terms are pretty darn basic, and I'm sure that that's kind of a misdiagnosis of the knowledge level of most Americans. But those things are pretty basic to the insurance business, but they're telling us to be the agent who bridges that knowledge gap and get more business in return. Instead of taking advantage of the prospect's lack of knowledge, oh yeah, that was first on my list of things to do. They're really dumb. I'll just have them sign this. They won't know what I'm talking about. Use the opportunity to educate them and establish yourself as their go-to guru for insurance-related needs. I kind of put that in my book with the Hootie Sapper ticker reference to illustrate how Medicare works. And I said, I am their Medicare expert, and I'm toasted in absentia every time the family gathers together. So anyway, break things down into layman's terms. Provide them with charts and illustrations. Give them recommendations. Let them feel comfortable making their own choice. Well, there are nuggets of wisdom in there, but kind of wrapped up in basic insurance salesmanship or basic salesmanship. These principles work for any sort of commonsensical sales approach, whatever you're selling. The difference in insurance, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't in the article, this is Doug talking here. Insurance is intangible. You can't see it, feel it, touch it. All you can do is maybe see, feel, and touch the paper that insurance jargon is written on, and then you can listen to a dopey guy like me yak at you about what insurance is, but that's as close as you're ever going to get to actually touching insurance. That makes it a kind of a different deal than saying going to the lumber yard and I want a board. Give me a board. What do you suggest? What's your best board? And that would be a difficult sale. So if a client in any way feels like you've let them down or led them down the garden path, they could make a complaint to the insurance company or to the CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. They only spell it wrong because they don't know any better, I guess. It should be CMMS, but leave it to the U.S. government, CMS. They misspell their own acronym. So the people could rapidly disenroll from their plan and or search for assistance elsewhere. However, if they feel like you've helped them and provided them with great insights and recommendations, they could send many more clients your direction. So remember, trust that is built much more stable than trust that is blind. What? trust that is built is much more stable than trust that is blind. All right. I'm going to remember that one. So the next one, avoid making, go ahead. Randy, you had a comment?
I'm just confused at the moment because this stuff, I don't know that this would work in the case of Medicare disadvantage plans. You know, it's just, you know.
But yet that's what
I think they're just guessing.
That's what they're aiming this at, people who sell Medicare disadvantage plans, because the term rapid disenrollment is a Medicare Advantage term. And that means, like at the end of the year, when all these guys go completely berserk and they're signing up every victim they can get their hands on into Medicare Advantage plans because they make so much money, like $500 or $600 per person. What happens is if the people wake up, the ones that are early realizers that they have stepped in dog poo and they want to scrape it off their shoes right away, those are rapid disenrollment people. They will call their insurance company and say, get me out of here. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have bought this product. I shouldn't have signed that sales agent snookered me. So rapid disenrollment, when you hear that term, that's a real live insurance term. And it means that somebody screwed up big time and the client realized it and they want to get out. So the next
rapid disenrollment.
Yeah, and it's
that,
like
that's an insurance term for I buffaloed this guy, but he figured it out.
He figured it out and he's on to me. I gotta change my name and leave town. Alrighty. So the next one, avoid making bad assumptions. We all make assumptions to get us through the day. For instance, we make plans and schedule appointments based on how long we assume they and other things on our schedule will take. However, sometimes making assumptions can get us into trouble, such as when we wait until the last reasonable minute to leave the house for meetings or appointments because we assume traffic will be normal. Or we start sales appointments expecting they will go one way and they end up going another way. Or we quickly go over premium, deductible, out-of-pocket, copay costs because we assume that people know what these basic insurance terms mean. Well, as United Healthcare found out, only 9% of their dopey clients know what those terms mean. So anyway, if you want to give a great presentation, try not to make bad assumptions during your sales pitch. Don't go into conversations thinking your customers understand or know all of their options, because they probably don't. Once you start explaining products, don't assume your client actually understands what they are. And don't think that just because your client looks healthy or has money, that they want the cheapest or most expensive plan they can afford. Bad assumptions can lead to confusion, wasted time, and lost sales. After all, you've probably heard the familiar joke about what assumptions make out of you and me. Yeah, we all watched The Odd Couple back in the 1970s. Finding out what your clients know, educating them on what they don't, and uncovering their wants and needs can set the stage for another valuable relationship and more future business. I will say one thing. They make the statement in here that just because your client has a bunch of money, don't assume anything. Let's see, don't assume they want the cheapest or the most expensive plan they can afford. Even people with a ton of money typically are looking to save money. Nobody wants to get ripped off. So if you've got a good quality plan like a Medicare supplement that has high value and you're thinking about a high deductible plan, don't refuse to present that sort of a plan just because you think the people have a ton of money and they'd rather buy something a little pricier. Because often people say, hey, that looks like a good deal. I don't care how much money I have. I'd rather take advantage of a good deal. So back to the article here. Stop presenting, start listening. How can you find out what your clients understand, what they don't? How can you find out what your clients do understand, what they don't understand, and uncover key details you need to make a fantastic recommendation, especially if your client is perpetually nodding? Well, that's what Randy does all the time. He nods off whenever the subject of Medicare comes up. Ask them questions and listen to their responses. This way, you can find out what people actually know, want, and need. Open-ended questions are great for identifying concerns, problems, and potential solutions. However, closed-ended questions can also give you valuable insight. Well, which is it, open-ended or closed-ended? Consider the following examples. I guess here's a question. What don't you like about your current plan? Okay, you sold it to me and it sucks. What would you like your new plan to do for you? Not suck. How much can you afford to pay for your new plan each month? Oh boy, that sounds like a loaded question. Where and or who would you like to receive help from? That sounds a little scary. Which quality is most important to you? The plan's premium, the ability to see the providers you want, and the insurer's name, or the plan's rating? Is there anything else I can help you with today? Yeah, could you go out and wash my truck? Okay, asking these and other questions can help you learn more about your client and exceed their expectations. But don't forget, you also have to listen, really listen to clients' responses in order to truly glean anything and pitch the right product. When you practice active and empathetic listening, you don't just think about what to do or say, what your next move is going to be. You consciously focus on what your client is saying and then respond and adjust your plan accordingly. So the next segment is prove you practice what you preach. You got to prove you practice what you preach. Being nervous before a presentation is perfectly normal. However, coming off as nervous during a presentation can be unprofessional and off-putting. And no, all the PowerPoint slides in the world cannot fix that. A big reason why a prospect or client might reach out to you as an agent is because they aren't sure what they should do and they think you can help them. If you can't sell them on your ability to do just that, you won't be able to sell them a product. And you might even get upstaged by a local competitor. So it says here, if you can't sell prospects on your ability to help them, you won't be able to sell them a product. Okay, that's just the same thing they repeated. Before going to a sales appointment, practice your core sales script at least a few times. If you can, ask a family member, friend, or mentor, or a pet to listen to your sales pitch. That's like cruelty to animals, I would think. And then provide you with feedback. Your pet's going to go, arf, arf. If you'd rather practice it alone, watch yourself in a mirror and record yourself, even if it's just your voice, and then reflect on the following. Boy, yes, they really know how to advise you how to have a fun time. So watch your tone, watch your pace, watch your eye contact, watch your body language. After you give it a go, make note of what you could do better, and then do another take. Ah, geez, that's gonna kill a whole weekend. I'm sickened just by reading this. Bonus, do you own the product you're trying to sell? Do you have a guy laughing at you from across on the computer screen? Letting the prospect know that you actually bought the product yourself can really prove to them your benefit.
Oh, no.
We had a whole nother episode where the advice was don't say that to the person. You remember that episode we had where it said don't ever say these things to your clients, including you're fired and stuff like that?
Well, hold on there, Mr. Client. I've got an important phone call I got to take here. Hold
exactly,
on.
That was one of the top choices. And another one was don't tell the client that you bought the same thing that you're trying to sell them. And here it says to do that. Now, which way? I'm confused. Well, which way are you supposed to go?
How are you supposed to? Okay, keep in mind that most Medicare Advantage plan sales folks are not 65. Okay, so
what you're saying, I think, is they're wet behind the ears.
So when you're 22 years old, you just got in the business, and you've got this, you know, the certificate on your wall that says Billy Joe Jones is a Medicare Advantage sales professional as of last Wednesday.
Yeah.
How can you say I bought that? I'm not even old enough to drink.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell to give confidence that you know the product to somebody who's decades older than you and has been around the block a few times. I would say turn the salesman around and look for the roller skate key in his back that his boss wound him up and pointed him out the door with, because that's going to be your clue that that kid never bought the product that he's pitching to you if you're looking at Medicare coverages. So you're absolutely right, Randy. In closing,
Go ahead. Just
closing this up. People may not find insurance thrilling. Oh boy, just put a period right there and we're done. But you shouldn't let that stop you from strutting your stuff. Remember your audience, your clients, they need your help. Strive to give them your best. So that's a nice little closing of our advice to new insurance salesmen, or to any insurance salesman, I guess. You were in the middle of expressing a thought.
Who wrote this thing? Fred Astaire? Don't be afraid to stretch your stuff. What in the world? What is this, like out of a comic book that you're reading this? Or
I think it's one of these things where they're too cool for school. The author decided, I got to speak the lingo of the kids today. Otherwise, they're not going to believe what I tell them.
Mrs. Jones, this program over here, this just is not your jam. Go ahead and sign up over here. Well, so you said early on in this program of success in selling Medicare, Medicare Advantage plans, you said education was a key word. I agree that in any kind of sales, education is a key word. Nobody likes to feel like they're being sold something that they don't understand. But what I don't understand is when you walk in with a full PowerPoint deck and, you know, a screen and all that stuff, and then you give a quiz after the fact. Why do they do that?
They do that because they don't know what else to talk about. They're nervous. They're scared. They're afraid they might screw up. So they say, I can rely on all of these other tools, and then I can hide my severely inept and defective personality behind my PowerPoint presentation. And that's the only thing I can think. You know, repetition breeds confidence. And also in the world of Medicare Advantage sales, it might also be the repetition breeds the realization that you might be selling a product that's not doing anybody any good, and you should broaden your horizons a little bit and look around for something better to sell. So that's
Do you think that's ever happened?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a guy who has contacted me a couple of times. He said, you know something, you're on to something here, Mr. Jones, because I've read your book. I've listened to your podcast. I think you have a better approach than most Medicare companies, sales companies have. And I like it, and I'd like to participate in it. So, you know, that may be the only time in the world that it's happened, but it's enough to keep me going. So
I can just envision some person, you know, standing up in front of a sales presentation and all of a sudden halfway through realizing that this is crap. It's well, part C.
If the audience is listening to me, they're not going to be there. So the guy is standing in front of an empty room waiting for somebody to show up, because I have advised people not to go to those kinds of things. Because they're going to wake up and realize, hey, this is just part C. What do I need this for?
Part C. Crap. Oh, yeah, that's part C. Yeah, we know that.
Crapola.
So you walk in the room, they go, right. Look at this vast audience of empty chairs. But, you know, on the podcast, you can't see that because they never film the audience.
No. It's always following the salesman back and forth as he paces or his PowerPoint slides. They have those prominently displayed as well. But the important thing to remember is there aren't that many choices. If you narrow down, you know, get rid of the chaff and narrow it down to the most dependable, reliable products, you're going to pay a little bit of money for them, but you're going to wind up with a much happier resolution if you should ever get sick. And if you never get sick, and you follow our recommendation by high value, high deductible Medicare supplement plans, then you're not going to be sorry that you bought those, because you won't have paid that much money and you will have had great protection, but you didn't need it. So the cool thing is to stay healthy. The second thing is not to waste money on insurance. And that's what we try to avoid here.
So I'm just envisioning, you know how my mind works. I'm just envisioning somebody walking in. This may even precede you. You know what a magic lantern is? The magic lantern company?
No, I know what a magic slate is. Remember magic slates that you had when you were a kid?
Well, the Magic Lantern Company was one of the initial, very beginning movie projecting companies.
Really?
And the Magic Lantern. So they actually had some sort of a crank on it. They cranked it in front of a candle with many magnifying glasses in front of that. But yeah, it was called the Magic Lantern. So if your Medicare Advantage plan person walks in, and instead of a PowerPoint, they've got a magic lantern, you probably better just move on.
Well, there you go. There could be a lot of danger signs that you're in the wrong place. You know, get out while you can. But if you're listening to this, then you already know the right answer, which is Medicare Advantage is probably not going to be the best choice for you. Give Medicare Supplement serious consideration. And if you are still unsure, then buy Medicare for the Lazy Man, the one that has a big red 2021 on the cover. And there's a chapter in there with 10 reasons why Medicare Advantage plans kind of often don't do what you want them to do when you acquire them. And the act of acquisition isn't too painful because a lot of them don't charge that much money for the plan, but they also aren't worth much money. And as time goes by, you may lose your opportunity to improve your position by purchasing a Medicare supplement plan, because if your health goes south on you, your options are going to go with it. So that's what we try to avoid. If you go into a Medicare supplement plan right up front, you're not going to have to worry about losing your option to get one later on when you really want it. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, I heard somebody say earlier today.
Yep. You're absolutely right, Doug. Great advice. Well, we have just burned up our time and we need to sign off. But before I do that, I need to recommend and encourage everyone on this podcast to go to Amazon.com, order up several copies of the newest, latest, and greatest book called Medicare for the Lazy Man. On the cover, it says 2021, but in the title, it'll just say Medicare for the Lazy Man, because we didn't want to lose all of our, reviews year to year.
Yep. We got two 5-star reviews now. So, and if this book performs like last year's book, we're going to have 230 of them or so by the end of the year, and we won't lose them. We'll just go into the following year with all of our reviews intact. But the important thing is,
several.
Yeah. Give them to your great grandchildren. Or, take them to church and pass them out or whatever. I'm sure that they'll find their way to people who can actually use them and appreciate the content.
Absolutely. I heard a story one time. Doug put a hard copy of one of his books in a local auto repair shop. And they liked it so well there that somebody stole it.
Somebody stole it. So then I went back and I said, okay, here is a display case with business cards in it. Let them steal those all day long. But when the book, when one of those people writes me and says, send me a book, then that's when I'll provide the book instead of just having thieves take it out of the waiting room. And actually that worked out well because some woman said, hey, I read the book in the waiting room and I need your advice. So that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, Captain was. Well, Doug, anyway, thank you so much. It's time to sign off.
Thank you for engineering this particular episode, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
You're welcome, Doug, and thank you for being the best expert that I know of on Medicare and a straight shooting guy from Oklahoma. Doug Jones, the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and the anti-insurance guy, don't ever listen to anybody but Doug. Follow his orders. Just march right to his tune. You'll never be sorry.
See you soon. Bye-bye.